Billy Mays here with ContraCast episode 2.
Det är det enda ni gör på dagarna. Ni sitter där även trill och spelar Dota.
Vi sitter här i väntan och spelar lite Dota.
I hear you, man.
Vi sitter här i väntan och spelar lite Dota.
I feel you, man.
Vi sitter här i väntan och spelar lite Dota och pushar på och smeker med motståndet vi leker. Vi sitter här i väntan och spelar lite Dota och springer runt och creepar och motståndet vi slipar.
Let's get it on.
What's up, everyone? This is ContraCast episode 2. And yeah, we're all here. This week, joining us, in addition to Mike and Steve and me, Paul, is John, my brother. He's back from a trip to Baltimore. So we're going to go ahead and all of us will introduce ourselves. I'll start with me. My name is Paul Kwiatkowski. You can keep up with me on twitter.com/ContraPaul and my blog at ContraPaul.blogspot.com. Let me go ahead and, John, you can introduce yourself. Tell everyone where to keep up with you.
Okay, so I'm John Kwiatkowski, and yes, I am Paul's brother. And you can keep in touch with me at Twitter/J_Kwiatkowski. And yeah, on the mic.
Yeah, well, John just joined Twitter today, so don't expect great things. but things are there. Alright, Mike, what's up?
Hi, I'm Mike Pulaski. I'm Steven's brother, and you can follow me on Twitter at Yomasheta. That's Yomasheta. And you can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/mpulaski.
Hey, I'm Steven. You can follow me at twitter.com/StevenPulaski, which will be spelled on Paul's blog, where this will be up.
Yeah, I've got links to all this. This week we got a faster host, so anyone who downloaded last week and dealt with like the 12-minute download time, this week it should be about 2 minutes, which is
rapid share.
I know rapid share. I don't know what it is, but you know, I guess you really get what you pay for with hosting, and everything that is free is low. So anyway, today the community of infomercial watchers took a hit. As everyone knows, earlier this week, Michael Jackson died and Farrah Fawcett died. But today, beloved friend Billy Mays died. And we've all been mourning here. In fact, today is All Caps Day, June 28th. So anyone, you guys want to share some Billy Mays memories?
Hey, guys.
Oh, the OxyClean. I watched that commercial for 15 minutes, just staring at the TV until I realized, wow, why am I watching an infomercial? But he's a trickster. His blue-collared shirt will never be forgotten. Also, yes, screaming at me at 3 in the morning. With Billy Mays here! Just, what a lovable guy. Too bad he had to die. I don't know exactly the cause. I guess they just found him, died in his sleep or something. So, yeah.
Hold on, we're having a little bit of trouble right now, so I want to put the show on hold for just a second.
Hey, guys.
All right, and we're back. Sorry about that. Our internet kind of died, and three of us are on the same router, so kind of was devastating. All right, I think we're talking about Billy Mays and how much he's touched our lives. So you guys, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I trust his stuff way more than, like, Vince's or that other guy from his show on Discovery Channel.
I feel like he could sell me anything.
I know. Vince tries way too hard. Billy Mays is naturally loud.
No, Vince has got that good improvising skills. You know, the Germans made this stuff. You know those Germans, they make good stuff.
Yeah, they make great stuff. You'll be slapping your troubles away.
Using Germans as a reference is always reliable.
Exactly. Germans make great stuff.
All of Germany supports his products.
Exactly. Germany is ShamWow. It's like a big ShamWow spread across the map. The Berlin Wall made a ShamWow, absorbed everyone. Alright, so, yeah, Billy Mays died today. It's kind of sad, I guess. Yes, we're joking. Billy Mays has not really touched our lives. Anyway, we're going to move on to the Zune HD. And I'll go ahead and introduce this a little bit. So, back in 2006, in November 2006, Microsoft released the first generation Zune, which was a direct iPod competitor. The next year, they released it, which it was a 30 gig, came in several strange colors, like brown. I have a brown one. The next year, it came in 80 gigs, and then they introduced some flash-based Zunes, which were kind of like small or iPod Nano competitors. The next year, they released a 120 gig. And this year, they are coming out in September, it looks like, with the Zune HD. And this is a direct iPod Touch competitor. It's looking like it's going to come in 16 gigabytes and 32 gigabytes. It's probably going to be kind of pricey, but it's going to have full internet and everything. You know, it's got a Tegra chip, which I'll talk about a little later. You guys want to kind of comment on this a little bit?
Yeah, it's going to, Zune HD basically gives it HD. It's going to be a 720p video output, so you can output to your HD television and watch videos. And of course, Zune has its good up converter. It's going to have Wi-Fi with, I think, Internet Explorer browser on there. Or maybe, I don't know if it's a mobile-based browser, yes. But it's going to have multi-touch and all the same features that the iPod has, the iPod Touch, and so it'll be a great competitor for the iPod Touch. It'll probably be around the same sizes as 16 and 32 gig, and it'll probably be around the same price as the iPod Touch, but it's just going to be just as good, I think.
It should be even better. I mean, the Tegra processor that's in it is more like a computer on a chip than just a processor. When they've tested this and people have seen it on video and stuff, and it loads things faster. I mean, just every screen is faster than the iPod Touch or the iPhone, and that's due to the Tegra processor that's in it. And so I'm looking forward to, I mean, there should be some cool little, like, 3D applications or games on it, you know. But, you know, this is, I mean, it's got internet, and it's free, free Wi-Fi. You don't have to pay for any kind of subscription, so, I don't know, this is going to be an awesome little, bring-to-class kind of companion thing.
Yeah, thank the Lord for Wi-Fi, because we all know that Verizon and other companies like to, you know, rip that out of our
cell phones,
want to charge us for everything. So
Steven,
I said free. Yeah.
Steven, you've got an iPod. The rest of us have Zunes. Is this thing appealing to you in any way, or are we just kind of blowing smoke right now?
Well, the thing that I like is that it's going to be more compatible with Windows, because I have an iPod without a Mac, so it's always a hassle to convert everything to iTunes. I personally use Torrent, so it's not as big of a deal. It comes in like MP3 format or whatever, but usually if you take music off of a CD, they have to convert it, which will take like 10 minutes per CD, which if you're trying to do like a whole music library, it's not bad for one CD, but if you're trying to put your whole music library on your computer from CDs to your computer, it'll take forever, and it just like wastes your time. But this does seem appealing. I like my iPod. It's been good to me. I just have a 30 gig video iPod, and I mean, it works. I don't really use it for movies. I think the only movie I have on there is 300, which I put on there a year ago. But this is definitely something I would check out if I wasn't broke right now.
Yeah, I know. It should be coming out in September, so we all have time to stock up. John, you've pretty much been completely silent, actually. Are you going to be getting one of these? I mean, what looks good to you?
I'm really looking into it. The one thing that I really hope it is good with is the touchscreen, because that's either it's great and you love it, or it's horrible.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I totally agree with John. Yeah. I mean, iPod hit the money with the touchscreen. I haven't seen anybody been able to do multi-touch with any other, you know, thing, because they're either too fearful to copy the iPhone, or they're just waiting for somebody else to release it. But I just want to see a good touchscreen that can finally rival the iPhone.
Yeah, from what it looks like, this actually, it may even beat it. I mean, it's not one of these like a Samsung. I know you got a Samsung phone, Mike, but man, those things are terrible. I mean,
it's horrible. I hate the touch.
You know, you gotta tap it like three times, and you know that these touch screens are bad. I was on Verizon the other week looking for a phone, and I was reading some reviews, and people are saying things like, got this phone to replace my my LG Voyager, fed up with touchscreens. I'm like, no, you're not fed up with touchscreens. You're fed up with the LG Voyager's touchscreen, which doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, because touchscreens, I mean, when you use the iPhone or something, you really don't even feel like you're using a touchscreen. You feel like you're using, I don't know how to describe it, but it's brilliant and it works great.
If you've used the iPhone or the iTouch and then you use any other touchscreen, it's just, there's no compare. You just can't compare them. I guess that's why everyone adores the iPhone and iTouch.
You know, it's one of these things. I mean, last week we really talked about how Twitter was great and it just works. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, I don't really care for Apple products, but man, their touchscreen is brilliant.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that.
Paul, why don't you talk about the... I know you know a lot about the marketplace, and I guess they're going to kind of merge it with the 360, maybe? I don't know. Rumors of that going around?
They've kept on saying, I mean, the past several years, they keep on preaching about how they're going to try and integrate the Zune more with the 360. And they really haven't done a great job so far. I mean, I know you can plug up your Zune cable and plug your 360 in. This time, I'm not sure how much more. There's been talk because they have a Tegra processor on it that you can actually, play some Xbox arcade games on there. And I don't mean like Pac-Man. I mean like the 3D, downloadable Xbox arcade.
Apparently, it's supposed to be compatible with Xbox Live, so that they haven't really given much details, but they just said it's going to be compatible, which could really mean anything, but yeah. I have high hopes.
I mean, this processor, I'm going to make a prediction that's probably going to be false, but I would say that this, from what I've seen about Tegra and everything, I think that this is powerful enough to handle stuff that the original Xbox put out. And so I would go crazy if I could, start getting games like Ninja Gaiden or Halo on here, or even earlier ones, I mean, MechWarrior or something.
Wouldn't it be cool, though, since it's got an accelerometer in it, if you do kind of like a Wii-type driving,
Yeesh.
I don't know how that would work on the
Switch.
It might be okay.
I'll stick to Natal on 360, and I'd rather have a more tactile input with my Zune HD.
Something I'm looking forward to is, if they will put a music through the Xbox Live so that you can wirelessly play music from your Zune HD to your Xbox and play it through the speakers.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm sure that's coming too, because my current one, I have the very first generation, and they've up until now, and this it's going to be kind of hard, but they've always given you the most current software on your last generation Zune. So every Zune on the market today has the exact same software and features, and of course the new one with touchscreen they won't be able to do anything. I would bet that they're going to release some kind of final version software for this stuff, but. But yeah, I can wireless sync with my current one. I mean, just 2 days ago, I plugged my Zune into my wall charger, and I got on my computer, and had my Zune software up, and I told my Zune to wirelessly sync. And so it's like 10 feet away, but I sent my files over there. So you know that the capacity is coming up to get on your home network and beam your music, basically a playlist or a CD or whatever, to your Xbox, and that's awesome. I think, because, I know Xbox has a playlist maker or a music library on it, but I don't know. This sounds really cool. You guys, anything else about the Zune HD before we move on?
Not really. We've covered everything.
I believe we're ready to move on to Windows 7.
Yeah, Windows 7 is the newest Windows, and it is coming out October 22. Mike and I have been using the Release Candidate 1 for the last month and a half or so, and that is very close to the final release. I mean, it's almost there. I mean, it's Release Candidate 1, and that means, it's a candidate for release. They're looking at, this one. We're sending information back. So this is kind of their rebound from Vista. What do you guys think about that?
I think... I've used it, both of y'all's computers, and so far it's just faster and simpler to use, and just all around better than Vista so far, my mind.
Yeah, I'm not one to bash Vista. I mean, I really enjoyed it, but certain things, I mean, just like tabbing out of programs, much, much faster in 7. I mean, it's like you hit Alt-Tab, and hey, the desktop's there, or the program's there, Vista, it would almost crash sometimes. And as far as, like, resource management, Windows 7 all around is just much faster. Vista had things that were cool, like the Shiny desktop, but it just, I don't know, it was very slow at handling that.
Just because it's shiny doesn't mean it's better, necessarily.
Exactly, and that's why a lot of people really didn't care for Vista. This one, I mean, Windows 7 is not any flashier than Vista was, but it's much faster.
You know, they've reduced processes that are running in Vista that were holding everything up, is what I believe.
Yeah, you look at like the task manager and see what's running, and Vista introduced something called the Desktop Windows Manager. And that had not been in Vista, or I'm sorry, XP, but that controlled basically the graphical look of the desktop. And that thing would go from, you know, 20 megabytes of RAM to like 100. And all that is just controlling how your windows look and everything. And that's something that just, you know, I mean, it doesn't, it's great. I mean, I like having shiny windows, but 100 megabytes of RAM for shiny windows, you know, it's dumb.
Yeah.
What do you think about the taskbar in Windows 7? I know you don't use it exactly, Mike. You use Rocket Dock instead.
Yeah, I like Rocket Dock, but the Windows taskbar is nice because I know a lot of people who love to have blank desktops and they use the Quick Launch toolbar in XP. But this is kind of like that, but only the icons are bigger and it's just all across the taskbar. And it's nice because you can really see what's open. With Rocket Dock, it kind of hides and you don't really see what's open.
Yeah.
But it's really cool because it works with like any program. I haven't seen a program that it has, you know, screwed up with so far.
Yeah. Well, so to clarify, what I'm talking about is you know, up until now, ever since Windows 95, they've had a little taskbar at the bottom. And it's got your start menu, it's got your quick launch, it's got your clock. This is the very first time they've changed the formula. And what I mean is that instead of your typical look, and you know, minimizing windows to a bar or whatever, you drag icons down there. And so, like, I'm looking at my Firefox icon right now. And it's got a little indention that shows that I'm looking at it, and it's got a white color that shows it's open. It's much more compact, and it really improves upon the way it used to be. You won't get just overblown with windows and they keep on shrinking. You mouse over them. You know, you mouse over your Firefox icon or your Skype icon, and you get a live preview of what it looks like and what's going on in that window. And it's just, it's pretty cool. I mean, they took a lot of things from Mac and a lot of things from Rocket Dock and other stuff that
it's just some
liked.
Of the simple things, the yeah. simple things that get you. Like, I really like how you can just see in the taskbar all the windows that are open. If you just mouse over it, it'll show you all the windows are open in like a mini sort of view, and you can close them without, you know, going, you know, because normal in XP, it would go to the page, and then it would close it, and it would, you know, minimize whatever you were doing, and that was kind of obnoxious. So just the little things like that. And another thing that I like about Windows 7 is it has the desktop cycler, which I love because I love to change my desktop. And what you do is you can go into the settings and you can set several pictures or desktops that you want to view, and the Windows will cycle through them every so like 10 minutes, and I think you can change the setting for the time of how long it changes, but I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It cycles through like four or five or however many desktop images. Mine's set on architecture, which is actually a packed-in one, and it's just got some really cool architecture pictures. But it's the whole theme is set up to match what the pictures look like, and that's pretty cool. Steven, you have not really had much experience with this. What do you think about Windows 7? I mean, I know you're getting a laptop pretty soon, so you're going to be getting a free Windows 7 disk. Are you looking forward to that, or what?
Well, I haven't really, checked it out that much. I mean, I've seen it on Mike's computer. It looks nice and shiny. It has more of a Mac feel to it. I think it could be... I just hope they did enough beta testing on it and everything. Like, I don't want it to be all buggy. Like, I'd rather just stick with XP that works for now until... I know that Windows 7 is, you know, guaranteed to work, because computers are just one of those things that, if it doesn't work, it just pisses me off to no extent, to no end. And, yeah. So I just want something that I know will work. So that's why I'm going to stick with the old Pro XP. But definitely check out the new features on Windows 7. It's new and shiny. You should see what it's all about.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done with that. Windows 7, just a few last things. They announced the pricing for upgrades the other day. It's going to be $50 to upgrade from Vista, pre-order.
Already pre-ordered.
Yeah, I know. $50 to upgrade or pre-order to Home Premium Edition, $100 for Pro, and $220 for Ultimate. And it's kind of funny, the pricing. I mean, right now, Mike and I both, because we have Release Candidate, we both have the Ultimate Edition, because Microsoft just wants you to test out the features. The features you get in Pro and Ultimate are not like they are in XP. I mean, there's a difference between XP Home and XP Pro. And in 7 and Vista, it's like the difference between Home and Pro is just... it's not worth the extra money. I mean, unless you just really need that extra, like, networking service that they give you and you can't download something, you know, there's no reason to go way above the pricing that you should pay for this program. Anyway, I think we'll get into the movies now. Mike and I saw Transformers 2 the other day, and Steven saw The Hangover, and... he'll give us a quick review of that in a little bit. For right now, Mike and I are going to talk about Transformers 2 or the disappointment that was Transformers 2.
Totally Mike, agree, Paul.
Mike, you want to start us off?
Yeah, saw Transformers 2. Didn't hear that great of reviews. I thought it was going to be like the first one. Of course, they casted Shia LaBeouf. Not too big of a fan of him. But Transformers, breaking it down, mostly... explosions, stereotypes, and a non-existent plot. I mean, there was just no plot at all at the very end of the movie, and it was so long. It was like watching the last Lord of the Rings. It was
dead long. It just drags on. And I told someone yesterday that, you know, there's certain people and their entire job is to make action scenes. And I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy who did it for, like, The Matrix and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, he does a great job of that. Michael Bay needs to stop directing dramas and stop directing people talking to each other and keep on directing action. Because for the most part, this movie, with the action, it's great. There's more explosions than you can count, certainly more bullets than you can count.
Yeah, don't get us wrong when we say, like, there was a ton of action scenes, but just some of them just seemed, you know, kind of pointless and very long and drawn out. But yeah. The good action scenes where it does the fast, slow motion kind of deal with Optimus Prime, those were the best because they just had the really sick moves in there.
I haven't seen the movie, but if it's shaky cam, I really don't want to see it. Because in the last movie, the action parts were good, but sometimes I was just like... sitting there having a seizure while they were blowing stuff up because the camera was shaking so bad that I couldn't even tell what was going on.
I don't think you really have to worry about the shaky cam in the movie as much as the spinny cam. They love the spinny cam. That's all they did was spin around every single action scene, and I almost threw up from just getting dizzy.
Yeah, they, you know, people talk on top of a building, they spin the camera around them like 20 times. People stand and talk to each other on the ground, and you know, they're just talking. It's not an action scene. They're not yelling at each other.
At the sky,
they're just talking.
Looking all majestic.
And
hey,
Michael Bay wants to spin the camera around them multiple times. I mean, Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox are sitting there talking, and the camera will not stop spinning around them. And they're just talking, and it was terrible. I think that the biggest fault, I mean, this movie was really long. Its biggest fault was really having a plot no one cared about. I can't really remember the plot from the first one that well, but I know that there was a plot. And it wasn't something that, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, an Oscar-worthy plot, but it was something. I mean, you know, this movie has like 20 minutes of plot material and 100 minutes of just stuff getting blown in the air and particles and explosions and bullets and Shia LaBeouf yelling, no, 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 no! Just all over the place. So,
well, if you want to get into more of the review of it for those people who don't really feel like seeing it, we can talk about the give away some spoilers of why we didn't like it.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in watching it, haven't seen it yet, you can just kind of turn it off for this part.
Yeah, skip ahead a few minutes. So basically, the movie opens up, and we get to hear a voiceover from Optimus Prime, Peter Cullen, and he tells us some things about how in the 2 years since the last movie, they formed a team called Nest, and so they're hunting around for these Decepticons. This team is composed of the United States and the Autobots working together. And so we're treated to a great action scene that I don't know what the heck's going on in. It's very loud.
And there's just random
and fire and sparks.
Bunch of random sex jokes.
Yeah.
Normally they're good about it, there's way
too many. And
yeah.
Just like most of the jokes in the movie, it just was completely unnecessary. They introduced a bunch of new Transformers. They introduced two that were twins. I know one's name was Mudflap, and I don't remember the others. But for some reason, Michael Bay decided to invent a stereotype. I've never heard of the Asian redneck stereotype, but now I have. It seemed like Billy Bob and Joe Bill out on their farm, except that their farm is a rice farm in China. It doesn't make any sense, but somehow in Michael Bay's strange mind it does. The same way everything Tyrese yells is just it's just exactly what Michael Bay is crazy about. They introduced some new ones, like I said. One of them was possibly cool. I don't have any idea what it transformed into. It was a Corvette prototype, and it looked like a Ferrari, but I have no idea what it transformed into because I only saw it sitting there.
Yeah, just drove around. They never transformed that. I think it was just a deal where they just made a deal with the car company and it just got destroyed and never transformed. That's one of the things I hated.
I don't think it even got transformed. It just hung out.
My opinion on Transformers is that it could be a great movie. It's intended to be a movie about some awesome robots that fight and stuff. And they just ruined it by casting Shia LaBeouf and adding like humans to the plot. I think they kind of missed the boat on that one. I know they want to add like a drama element to it or whatever, but I just think it would have been cooler if it would have just been an Autobots versus Decepticons and just an all-out war.
Yeah, and the best scenes
sort of like the cartoon.
Exactly, the best scenes were that. I mean, there's one scene where Optimus Prime takes on like four or five guys. That is totally ripped off from Gundam, but it's okay. He's got, like, these flaming swords, and he's spinning around, and he's like, I'll take all of you on! And he's killing him and stuff. That's a great scene. But the rest of the movie's action just... The biggest thing to me about the action is this. If you guys remember, the last movie, they made a big deal about these special weapons, like Hellfire or something weapons, the humans have that actually hurt Transformers, you know? And they can actually kill them? And, you know, you remember that scene that's in slow motion with the soldier? He's, like, on his motorcycle, and he slides, and he fires straight up into Megatron or whoever it was. Maybe it was Starscream. And so they make a big deal about these missiles and grenades that can hurt them. And in this movie, they are entirely gone. They are using bullets again, and as we learned in the last movie, bullets are worthless.
I think that's what made for the fight scenes drawn out so long.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, the bullets are totally worthless. Tank shots are basically worthless. I mean, they made them a little more powerful, but I don't know. This movie, even for $6, which is what we got in for our student discount, not worth going to see.
Well, to kind of wrap this up, the final spoiler, the Fallen is an actual character.
Yeah, the Fallen is a guy.
He's supposed to be one of the main characters, but yet he is cast for 4 minutes of him showing up, talking, and then dying.
Yeah, this is what happens. You've got the Fallen, who's actually a guy. He's an old Transformer. He's old. He has, like, a beard or something. He's on screen for all of, like, 4 minutes. Somehow he has elemental powers. We don't know where they came from. He's on screen less than dead Optimus Prime. Spoiler alert. I mean, dead Optimus Prime. No. I know, the body of Optimus Prime is hanging out more than the Fallen.
Yeah.
The Fallen is, like, the title character.
I think they just tried to make it too good by having too much, you know, stuff, like, I don't know, they tried to put a moral in, they tried to make it seem like it was, like, you know, gonna have a bad ending, where, like, the thing that was supposed to save Optimus disappeared, but then it came back because Shia LaBeouf had this vision of, like, all the Primes, you know, telling him it's his destiny.
Jedi.
And they just tried to put elements of every single movie into it, and I think that's what it made its downfall.
To wrap it up, if you think of great action movies you've seen, movies like The Matrix come to mind, Die Hard is great, you know.
300.
Well, yeah, that one's got
more
like this. But those movies are not constant action. But when there's action, it is awesome. Transformers, it's like Michael
Bay.
Rolls
to the walls, I think, is the technical.
Exactly. Transformers, Michael Bay is just like, the only way to make this better than all of them is just to have action all the time. And it totally fails in that aspect. I mean, the worst sin an action movie can commit, in my mind, is to make you get tired of the action and hope it ends.
Yeah.
And multiple times in Transformers, you're like, this is cool, but wrap it up. Anyway, all right, so Steven, we're going to go to you. And can you give us a little overview of The Hangover?
Well, I went and saw The Hangover a couple of days ago, and in case you don't know, it's a new comedy out. Yes, it's rated R, so don't go see it unless you're over 17. Pretty much the plot is these four guys, well, these three best friends, and the groom-to-be's brother-in-law go to Las Vegas for his bachelor party, and each of them weaves an intricate web of lies to be allowed to go, and so they go and have their night on the town. The movie starts out with them taking a shot and toasting, and then they wake up in their hotel room where everything's trashed, and there's a lion, or no, it's a tiger in their room, and they're naked, and none of them can remember what happened. So the whole movie is these three friends trying to piece back together the night and what happened, and also trying to find their friend. And which I was surprised. Although this is a comedy, I would say comparable to Superbad, I would say this was a good movie. Not only just because the jokes. I mean, any movie can put in obscenities and, you know, have some pretty funny jokes at some parts. But it surprisingly actually had a good plot. There's actually a couple twists in the plot, too, which was... it was actually refreshing for a comedy. It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, I got really drunk. It was awesome. So, yeah, I really like that about it. It was probably the funniest movie I've seen since I saw Superbad. I would, out of 10, I would give this movie about an 8.5. It was very funny, although, I'll warn you, very offensive. But overall, a good movie, with a plot. I mean, there's actually some complex, characters, like, there's actually character development in there, you know, you see a change in a couple of the characters and, you know, become accepted. The three main characters, I can't quite remember their names. One is Alan, I believe, and he's the fat guy. They call him fat throughout the whole movie. And he's kind of like a misfit. He's always saying ridiculous things, and he's just socially awkward, big, fat, and bearded. None of them wanted him to come with them on their bachelor party, but he kind of just tagged along. Then Phil, who's a school teacher, he pretty much just keeps everyone calm the whole time, but he's funny. He pays for his Vegas trip by stealing money from the kids in his class, and so yeah. Then I don't remember I think the groom's name was Paul, and he's pretty much just lost for the whole movie, and they don't find him till the end, but of course you knew that. And then the fourth guy, I can't really remember his name, but he's a dentist, actually. He tells everyone he's a doctor to feel important, but he's actually a dentist. And I don't know, it's just funny to see them argue with each other and all the I don't want to spoil it, but some pretty ridiculous things happen to them. They get shot at, hit with baseball bats. They stole a police car, which I believe they wreck. They get tased. There's no way anyone could survive that. One of them gets clawed by the lion. the fat guy gets punched by Mike Tyson, which I'm sure you've seen in the commercials. Also, the cameo appearance from Mike Tyson was pretty good. He actually isn't a bad actor, although he's pretty creepy, and I was a little bit distracted by his speech impediment. But other than that, I would say overall a good movie, and that if you can handle the offensive language and stuff like that, I would say definitely go see it. So, yep.
Okay. We only have one more topic, and I'm going to let you guys talk about it. Local attraction, Belews Creek.
Okay, I'll start this one off. A couple weeks ago, like right now I'm working at a pool, and some of the lifeguards came up and were like, there's a place, you know, around here to hang out where there's a big rope swing and all that. And I was like, okay, that's kind of sketch, but anyway, so I went down there, and it is really sketchy. He's kind of parked on the side of the road, walked through this random path in the woods, and there's, like, a massive rope swing and a big platform to jump off of into this, you know, it's kind of like the big end of a lake, but it's like a river start.
By big platform to jump off of, you mean 2 feet long and 1 feet wide.
By big, I mean high up.
Okay. There's two platforms to jump off of. One of them is, I guess, around 40 feet. One's around 20 feet. Also a rope swing, as John mentioned before. There's always random people coming up in boats or whatever, trying to use the swing or whatever. It's really fun. There's not really a good place to stand around at, but I went there. I've been there twice, and it was just amazing both times that I went. The water is heated by the Duke Power Dam, so it's like 80 degrees and just amazingly pleasant to swim in. It's not like cold water. And, yeah, it's for a creek, or I guess it's a river or a creek or something. It's pretty clean. There's beer cans everywhere, but other than that, it's legit.
Mike?
Oh, yeah. There are beer cans everywhere and stuff, but what Steven means is they're not floating in the water. It's just really nice, and it's really close to shore, so you really don't... I liked it because you didn't have to wear sunscreen, because there's all this shade by the trees, but yet the water is 80 degrees from the Duke Power Plant, and it's kind of nice because you're still close to the shore, but yet it's like has a 16-foot drop in the water, so... to probably about 30 feet. So when you're jumping off these high platforms, you have no fear of hitting the bottom. So that's what I really liked about it.
Okay. I guess with that, we're just about done. Anyone have anything else they want to say?
I think we're done.
Pimp Nasty, Pimp and Stanky Chicken, Willie James Huff. That's all.
Okay. All right, so until next week, this is Paul for ContraCast. Probably we'll be back Saturday or Sunday. Probably going to be Saturday or Sunday morning this time. This is kind of an anomaly. John got back from his trip. Anyway, take care.
Hey, guys.